All right, so we're opening up with the first seven chapters, of Daniel, first seven chapters, carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. God's elect can understand the prophetic messages in the book of Daniel by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's by looking at the natural events that lay a groundwork for us and comparing spiritual with spiritual that we can understand the hidden meaning of all the symbolic places, peoples, times, dreams, and events that have been hiding from the world today and given to God's children to rightly divide by his Spirit. That gives us the honor of searching out those things to the glory of God. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. Those truths were no less hidden from Nebuchadnezzar and even Daniel himself, who was told, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Daniel's revealing of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar is a type and shadow of how the elect by the Spirit of God can rightly divide the word and see those seals opened in our life through Christ at the time of the end, which is another way of saying the day of the Lord, when Christ comes into the temple that we are to open the seals which have been hidden from all the generations until God's Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost to take away that blindness. "Blessed are your eyes," Christ said, "because they see and your ears hear." God's word is spoken in a mystery, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 to 9, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Those who love God, of course, are those who are blessed to read, hear, and keep the sayings of the prophecy, including the commandments of God, which demonstrate our love toward God and each other. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Those books are being opened now if Christ is dwelling within us as our hope of glory, as he prevails to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He is our wisdom and the author and the finisher of our faith. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30 and Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, which was just described there, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That sanctification, that redeeming process that we're going through. Now, this section, the vision of all. Okay. What we do know and believe is that the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. So, of course, all the book, the whole Bible, is prophetic and sealed, just as Isaiah was told and as Daniel was told with these words, "Shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased." Isaiah 29, verses 10 and 11. "For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And a vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray thee.' And he saith, 'I cannot, for it is sealed.'" Daniel 12, verse 4, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Physical knowledge and spiritual knowledge is increasing, but to whom God has given that spiritual knowledge is only typified by the prophets who prophesied not unto themselves, but unto us, So even there, the natural things that are happening in the earth, physical knowledge, is a shadow of what God is doing for the body of Christ. And it's all for our sakes. The world will look back and say, wow, that was how important setting up God's kingdom was. We were being sacrificed in that sense for us, and we were being shown mercy now so that we can show it to them and say, this is what God was doing all the while. Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that this knowledge would come from above, from God, who would make known the interpretation of the dream for Daniel to give to Nebuchadnezzar. This witness of Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar is a type of how the manifest knowledge would be made known through the church and preached in all nations until the end of the age. In both Daniel chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 12, we are told what God will do in the church through Christ, both to will and to do, and all according to the counsel of his own will. So here are those two sections of scripture, Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So notice, I mean, it's very clear. It's those who are written in the book who are delivered. And it doesn't mean that God won't save all many. He will, but he's going to deliver the elect first in a time of trouble. And it's going to be a troublesome time. And of course, that applies inwardly because we're being delivered from much tribulation throughout our life. But there's an outward fulfilling of these verses too. There's a time when things are going to get really rough. But Christ says, don't worry. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, again, those are just for us to get our eyes set on Christ, looking above to the salvation that's coming, look to the mount, and be confident that Christ has already told us all these things are going to happen for our benefit, for our comfort, for our peace. So Revelation 12, verses 7 and 8 goes on to say, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, our spiritual warfare, which is in heaven, against powers and principalities. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So that timing is perfect, right? There's no place found any more in heaven, because when the resurrection comes, the battle is over. The battle has been won. God has given us the victories throughout our lives. We've fallen so many times. We get up. We forget what's behind us. We press. Then the battle is finally won. The day comes. Daniel 1, verses 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The siege that took place by Nebuchadnezzar was on the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, which demonstrates that there is a process of judgment that is about to unfold upon the nation of Judah. It is the Lord who gives us over to our enemies at an appointed time. So Judah is God's people. He represents the elect. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Proverbs 16:4, of course, which says, the Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And that was a day of evil. This captivity of Judah represents our time of being held captive by our Babylonian captors. And yet, if we are God's elect, determined from the foundation of the world, we will go into that captivity that God has purposed with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. This is all telling God's people that we must go into Babylon to come out of her, my people. And yet he is always with us, providing and protecting the man-child that will, at an appointed time, come out from under the tutors and governors, the schoolmaster that is being symbolized by this captivity of Judah, into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, where we bring the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So this is setting the stage for the rest of the book of Daniel. It's quite interesting when you look at it from that concept of this is the seed right here. This opening chapter really helps us see and understand what is it that God wants us to see from this book, and how is it grow into this story that talks about our salvation and deliverance from this place called Shinar. Ephesians 1 verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In Galatians 4 verses 1 to 3, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Verses 3 to 5, and the king spake unto Asphanez, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's place, king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Here we have King Nebuchadnezzar speaking to Asphanez, who is a Babylonian eunuch that represents Babylon today, with no stay of bread or water, no ability to be born again or mature in Christ. And Nebuchadnezzar asks him that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. We are brought into a relationship with another Jesus, is what this symbolizes. And it is all ordained of God to take of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So we are compelled by God's hand to go into Babylon as one of the king's seed and of the princes. Christ, Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, the king's seed. Christ is our sufficiency in this life, even in our immature status in Babylon, where we come behind in no gift, as demonstrated by this verse where we read, the seed was skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. While we are in Babylon, we are promised liberty by the food of the king, with the end goal of being healthy and able to stand before him. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. This is the lie of Babylon that cannot bring us unto perfection. 2 Peter 3:2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. And that's the experience of evil that we must go through to bring us to our wits' end. And then, Lord willing, be given a hunger for the true manna from heaven, like the prodigal sons that we are, if called and chosen in this age to be brought to that place of coming to ourselves in Babylon. We come to ourselves by the grace of God and realize that 3 years of being nourished by the meat and wine of this king is nothing less than empty calories, no stay of bread or water. And as such, we would never be able to stand before the true king with such a diet. Luke 15, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Revelation 6, 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand before the true king? Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 13, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, like we mentioned earlier, the angels and represented by Michael against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're wrestling against powers and principalities together as a body of Christ. Together. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. These children represent the elect who have no blemish, meaning no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and are well favored to have the life of Christ within us, as Mary was told of herself by the angel. Luke 1, verse 28, and the angel came into her, in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And of course, she represents a church. She represents the body of Christ, having the Spirit of God within us, that seed, that one seed. God has called his people to be witnesses of these things from the foundation of the world, symbolized by the way that the children of Judah were infiltrated into a Babylonian system that God purposed for a season until his people were called out from amongst them. You are witnesses of these things, Luke 24, verse 48 and 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So that city of Jerusalem, I was thinking of that earlier, they were told to tarry in, that this is not a place that represents holiness. Jerusalem above is holy. But when the Holy Spirit comes to us, Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, is now it's a holy place because Christ is there. Christ is in our midst. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The last two verses we'll look at tonight, 6 and 7. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Verse 6 is interpreted by verse 7 as seen in the meaning of the names of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to become Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the new names. These men represent the seed of the woman that goes into Babylon and comes out of her by the grace of God. And I heard another voice from heaven saying in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. God knows that we are his, and God knows those who are his, and they are given a new name, even from the foundation of the world. And even as they are going into Babylon to soon be called out of it by the hand of God. Four men going into Babylon also represents the whole world that has gone into Babylonian captivity, represented by Adam and Eve being driven out into the wilderness. And of course, saviors come up on Mount Zion. Those four that go in and come out represent the elect as well, who will come out and be used as those saviors to save the rest of the world who are still in Babylon. Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego typify, therefore, the whole world who will be reinstated to partake of the tree of life, representing the life of Christ that is in the midst of the paradise of God. Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24, and Adam said, this now, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that's really how the process of salvation happens. That's what it's typifying for us. The world doesn't see that, but that's the order that God says has to happen. We have to go into Babylon, and then we have to have a new mother and a new father. We have to be born again. Revelation 2:7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And all mankind start off with a carnal name, the mark and name of the beast, that is represented by the whole four names, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and represent the seed that has to fall into the ground and die and become a new creation represented by the names Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is through the destruction of the old that the new man is born. And so in type and shadow, we see Daniel 3, verse 26, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with Christ, our new name, Christ is our new name, are being purified in the fiery furnace through a process of judgment. That's the three of them, that Christ is the one, is working within his elect both to will and to do of his good pleasure as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Daniel is a type of Christ in that regard as well, making up the fourth man in this group of the three Hebrew men. He is a kind of the head of the group, Daniel is, at least the first mentioned of the group of men typifying Christ, who is our head, who has preeminence in all things. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. In Colossians 1, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So here's the breakdown of these names, the first names and the second names, kind of interesting. Daniel, God is my judge. Belshazzar, Lord of the straitened's treasure. So the body of Christ must be judged of God in this age in order to make straight the ways of the Lord in the wilderness of this life. That is the progression being shown with the names Daniel and Belshazzar. And then we have Hananiah and Shadrach. Hananiah means God has favored. And Shadrach means royal or the great scribe. God's children are shown God's grace or favor in this life. That favor is demonstrated by his judgment upon us that teaches us to forsake ungodliness and worldly riches in this life. Through Christ, we become a royal priesthood, and his scribes who have the honor of knowing his words are eternal, that we read, hear, and keep, and will be sought after by all of humanity in time. Remember the words that I said unto you, Christ's words. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But also these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Again, all for his name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. John 15, verses 20 to 22. And then we have Mishael, who is what God is, who is what God is to Meshach, guest of a king. The Jews wanted to stone Christ for making himself out to be the Son of God, which is another way of saying who is what God is. And we read Christ's answer to their explaining why they felt he should be stoned in these verses in John 10, verses 33, 38. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because that you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you were gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say you of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And in time that will be true. But he said, look at the witness that I'm leaving you. And he said that too before they crucified him. For which one of these works are you killing me for? Are you doing what you're doing to me? John 14, 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Adam was the son of God. So in that way, all mankind are sons of God. God is concerned with our spirit, however, and when we are subject to the devil, we are still sons of God, but of our father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning. And that's why Christ could say what he said here in John 8, verse 37 to 39. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. He answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus says unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So he says exactly the opposite. Of course, we know what he's telling them and what the meaning is behind that. John 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. If we become a new creation in this life through Christ, our spirits are changed, a new heart is given, and we become a guest of a king, invited to the wedding supper to partake of his life. We see God's love toward us in that when we were yet sinners, he died for us and came unto us and was our guest. Romans 5, verses 8 to 10. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And the last verse, which has the, no, it's not the last, and Luke 19, verse 5 to 7. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And that's the point, that Christ comes to be with us, to make his home with us, a sinner. Azariah, Jehovah has helped. And Abednego, servant of Nebo, let him be servant of all. Jehovah has helped. The mostly unknown ultimate goal for all of humanity is to be as Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the ultimate goal. It's just unknown by the world. The servant as his master. And it is only through our Father and Christ that this goal can be obtained, as he is our helper. And we are his workmanship that is being fashioned into a new creation that fits perfectly in God's plan, because he is the one who put us there to be blessed, to learn that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the world will one day appreciate what God did through this little remnant, this little flock. They'll look back and say, thank you, Father, for the way that you structured the body of Christ and the church and everyone in it to be servants. Let him be servant of all. God is the one who helped us to get to that goal. Next week, we'll look at Daniel 1, verses 8 to 21, a section of scripture that is very much a type and shadow event of how we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. When we are desirous of the Lord's meat, His words, His truth, His portion, His will in our lives, as typified by Daniel not wanting to be defiled with the portion of the king's meat, Babylon, but rather he wanted to eat what he knew would be healthier for him and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. This dietary carefulness on Daniel's part typifies for us a blessed people being given a hunger and thirst after righteousness for the true bread of life, Jesus Christ, who satiates God's people today in fulfilling the will of God in our lives, consuming the old man, the first temple, and building a new creation that will stand forever. We are standing healthily before the King when we fulfill His will. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, 6. And John 2, verses 19 to 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will you rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, meaning the first temple, 46 years it was in building, which represents the flesh, 6 plus 10, that cannot inherit the kingdom. So that temple's got to go, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The process of judgment is needed to create a new temple. And that's what's upon the body of Christ today. We're so blessed to be judged now. His body that will last forever. And that's our study for today. Thank you all for coming up.